Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, back in Britain, Nate Langsam.
And me, never left, Ian Morris.
I am staying for a while now, and sorry for last week's lack of a show, but frankly, I was just completely shattered, too tired and asleep in America, so that's why you didn't have
Yes. One. You slept for some 12 hours, you told me.
To begin with, yeah, and then I woke up for 3 hours, and then I got tired again, so I went to sleep for another 3 hours, then got up for dinner. Stayed up for 3 hours, watched Mission Impossible 2, went to sleep, slept for another 8 hours. So
that's an interesting choice. Why did you watch Mission Impossible 2?
One of the producers on my TV show, which I don't know if I mentioned that that's out now and you should all watch it, he was saying how good the recent Mission Impossible films have been and how much he liked the stunts performed by Tom Cruise. And I thought, okay, I'll watch, but I'll watch from the beginning.
Oh, so you've just recently seen Mission Impossible 1, have you?
And then 2.
Mission Impossible 1 has David Phelan in, you know that, right?
No. Didn't know that.
It does have David Phelan in. He is the conductor on the train.
Ah.
On the Eurostar.
Did not know that.
Well, yeah.
Friend of the sort of show.
Well, a friend of ours.
Friend of ours, yeah. I didn't realise that.
Probably, yeah, I mean, he's been in loads of stuff, but that's probably his most high-profile role.
Well, we know a lot of famous people, don't we, Ian, between us? We could put together...
at least three.
Yeah, could put together a little Eurovision ourselves. But let's not, because that's pointless. Thanks for supporting us, everybody. We're going to get into the news, because that is, we assume, why you are all here. And we're going to start with some news that came to my RSS feed via The Guardian. This is not a repetition of Guess the Hole, which is the show we play with our live listeners before the show starts in earnest, but it is a quiz. Guess who's going to let you book flights through their mobile app in the UK?
And I don't need to guess. It's written right in front of me. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it was a rhetorical guess, was it?
It was a rhetorical question, yes. It's not Tinder. They're not getting into the sex tourism business. No. Uber.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, you can't even feign a guess because, like, you know,
it's written right.
It's
there.
Right in front of us.
Sorry, carry on.
Yes, according to the Guardian, that Uber's going to start letting you book domestic and international flights in the main Uber app only if you're in the UK. So this is a rare example of something happening here first worldwide. It brings the total forms of transport available to book via Uber in the UK to around umpteen. I didn't count them all, but we've got cars, bicycle, electric bike, electric scooter, boat, undersea train.
I've been on the boat recently.
Yeah. What else have we got? We've got Eurostar, yes, rental car. You can get rental cars now, so if you want the Uber but without the driver, coach, bus, public transport, and now aeroplane. Or, of course, if you'd rather recreate the travel experience without leaving your sofa, Uber has the delivery option to, you know, basically bring a minibar and the stomach upset to your home via Uber Eats and its grocery services, which I think this kind of, if you take a step back, it kind of helps visualize what the company wants to do, which is move stuff, whether that's a person from A to B or A to the other side of the world, or food from R, which
you're
is to
wrong.
Say restaurant,
that,
to M.
That's not Mouth. That's not what it's trying to do at all.
Go on.
Stop it. It's trying to insert itself between customers and existing services. So Uber places Uber between licensed taxis and consumers, and Uber Eats places Uber between a restaurant and my mouth, etc., etc. It's basically managed to carve out a niche whereby it simply connects one to other.
I don't know if you've got a dictionary near you, mate, but you might want to look up the word facetious.
Yes.
It's just before the word git. No, I know what you mean, and you are completely right. But you know what I mean. It's like this seems to be what Uber wants to do. Like, it doesn't really want to be the car sort of service. It wants to be...
Well,
like,
having learnt that it costs money to run services and that was not a win for it, it's now decided to make money off not offering any services, but offering other people's.
Well, that's the thing. It isn't Uber itself that's even doing the connective tissue here, because the travel agent Hopper, which I've never heard of, but I like the name because it reminds me of frogs, and I'm a big fan of frogs. Give it up for frogs. It's an online travel agent. And so essentially, Uber's white labeling Hopper's service and taking a commission from each sale, which in a way is genius. And in another way, it's kind of like, well, where does this end? Like, I honestly think it won't be too long before we see removal services by Uber. I've joked about childcare via Uber, but prove me wrong, England. Pet hotels, that will happen. Parcel delivery, but in the sense of rivaling Hermes or any of these other cheap and typically disappointing companies that eBay forces you to use, etc. Right? Or am I wrong?
Well, I mean, it sounds, the evidence is good for what you're saying.
Thank you.
When I read this story, my initial reaction to it was, oh, okay, yeah, that seems to make sense. I don't have a huge issue with that. Maybe Uber's on the way to becoming the app that elongated Muskrat wants Twitter to be, the everything app. Maybe Uber will be the everything app first. I could see them having payments on there. I mean, why not?
I think that's far too complicated. I don't think that's what...
Really?
I don't think that's what that love...
Well, it fits with the business model of inserting themselves between something you want to buy and your credit card. So...
I suppose, yeah. But I still
Maybe
think that their
Uber
focus...
Maybe should buy the train network, Adam McCauley says in chat. Yes, why not? That wouldn't be worse.
Well, I did...
I mean, it wouldn't be better, but...
I did for a long time wonder if Uber and the train line would get together, or even if one would buy the other. Well, train line couldn't buy Uber, but Uber could buy the train line.
I don't know. Train line's a pretty big company. I mean, it probably couldn't buy Uber, it is a pan-European thing, so...
Yeah.
You know,
got a lot of time for Trainline, I have to say, as a company.
I use it every time I travel. I don't know if that's cost effective or not, but it's so much easier than horse facing around with the train platform machine.
I used to know their CEO until she left, and now there's a new chap who is also lovely. But
okay, well that's good to know.
I just mean I like the leadership at Trainline. They seem like nice people.
Sure.
But you mentioned horses. Now that is one giant gaping gap, actually.
Yeah.
Or hole.
Uber a horse.
In Uber's product offering.
You're gonna need to be a bit careful there.
Why?
You can't, well, because your constant desire to pluralize everything, or singularize everything, mm-hmm. has led you to suggest a completely different app.
Uber.
For Uber.
How?
But horse. I thought you said horse.
I said Uber horse.
Well,
who's to say?
Well, exactly. And I mean, you know, maybe one day sex services could be delivered by Uber.
Hang on. I joked about Tinder getting into that business at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
No, because Tinder's not an app for... When I was at the Mirror, a company did email me and say it had planned to launch an app that would connect people with sex services, mm-hmm. and they wanted to launch it on Valentine's Day, and of course it didn't happen.
No.
Because it's a bit of a legal grey area. It's not technically illegal for you to connect one person to someone selling sex, but it is a bit of a weird one.
I don't know. I think it's illegal to run a brothel, isn't it? But it's not
exactly.
It's not illegal to charge for sex. Anyway, that's a bit separate to the text message world.
Sure,
Charlotte
yes.
makes and a good point. It makes sense as sex workers could get home safely. That is actually a very good idea.
But bundled services, why not?
Siri just spoke up.
Oh.
I don't know why she's listening to... Go away.
Cracking start to this show, I have to say. I mean, this has gone all over the place.
It is. You're right. It's an explosion.
I think it was the overexcitement at Guess the Hole.
Yes, it was a fantastic episode so far. But Uber Horse would use, I have to say. But would you,
if so, a horse turns up at your house and you ride it somewhere?
I don't even need the horse to turn up at the house, but if it was an option and I could rent a horse, or at least a horse and carriage, and I could travel around the city by horse, it is incredibly inefficient, but I'd probably pay the premium.
Do you know?
I wouldn't say it should be their main business.
I mean, look, I'm a driver, right? We all know that. Mm. I like a car.
Yeah.
I've become increasingly frustrated both with the quality of Britain's roads, the traffic on Britain's roads, and the people on Britain's roads. But what if we went back to horses? Like, what if I got to the station on a horse? I mean, it's not a long walk to the station. I want to be clear. It's only 15 minutes. But on a horse, that could be 3, 4, 5 minutes maybe. There's a canal. I could hoon along the canal on my horse.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of into this, if I'm honest.
I'm in favour of it. I'm in favour.
I have never ridden a horse, so I'm unsure if it would be something I'd be good at.
I have. You should come and ride horses. I went riding with Marta once.
I have said I would like to do that, and I would. And also her horses are delightful.
Do you know what we should do?
Both.
We should do an extra message on horseback.
That's a nice idea. I like it.
Isn't it? Well, if you are in favour of that, good. Let us know. We'll make it happen, people. If you're a fan of booking flights through Uber, also let us know your opinions. Either way, hello@uktechshow.com. This will be out in the summer. Maybe we'll try it. Maybe we won't. That is our decision, and it's yours as well.
Right, good news for our live chat, who can get out their custom broadband router immediately. Emoji. Sorry, did I say emoji? I didn't say emoji, did I? Get your emojis out, guys. Now.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a broadband story. Hurrah. Today's news about tubes comes from ISP Review, which is reporting that CityFibre is switching the technology used to deliver internet to homes with a potential increase of speeds. Sort of. The new technology is called XGS PON, which is an upgraded version of GPON.
Sounds like a
all great names.
They sound like K-pop bands.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is how fiber to the premises is able to currently hit speeds of 1 gigabit per second. XGS PON improves on this by allowing speeds of up to 10 gigabits per second. You might be surprised to learn that these ultra-fast fiber installs still put you on a contended network, which is to say that everyone maxing out their lines would mean that you wouldn't see the top speed. But I think it seems sort of... people don't seem to be complaining about that, so it's presumably not an oversubscribed set of networks. Anyway... the existing networks place 8 to 32 users on a line capable of 2.48 gigabits down and 1.24 gigabits per second up. And that's a fairly light contention ratio, given that both ADSL and cable use something like 50 to 1. So will it mean increased speeds? Yes, in theory, a company could probably sell you a 10 gigabits per second connection. Businesses, for example, could easily take it as a dedicated line at probably reduced costs. Home users, I think, are unlikely to want to cough up for it, though, because it would be very expensive. But it will allow these fiber companies, who are probably already operating on relatively slender margins, to stay in business. Hurrah. Mm. Customers already using GPON are unlikely to be upgraded for some time, though, and new installs will use the system. But an engineer visit, Nate, is necessary to upgrade those existing connections. What do you think, bud?
Well, I was interested in this because, I mean, a lot of this terminology is new to me. I don't actually know a lot of about that. I couldn't tell you what a contention ratio is. I don't really know what XGS-PON stands for. All I know is that the headline started talking about 10 gigabits per second being rolled out on CityFibre. CityFibre being one of the bigger of the smaller direct like fiber companies, like
yes.
GigaClear, like Hyperoptic and so on. And the fact that we're now even talking about rolling out 10 gigabit per second is, to me, very, very exciting. Don't need it.
Yes.
But
no.
But would like it. And that's why I'm excited.
But does sound a bit like, yes. So I see it going two ways. It's possible for them to offer 10 gigabits per second now because those connections would technically be able to hit it. But it, like the existing ratio. So if you, so the 2.48 gigabits per second down means that if two people were maxing out their one gigabit line, then you wouldn't be getting anywhere near that speed. Although there's probably, it's probably more nuanced than that, to be fair, because, you know, the way the things work. But yeah, it, if someone was going to sell you a 10 gigabits per second line, you'd never be able to test it anyway because virtually nothing can run at that speed.
I may have made this up, but I vaguely remember we talked about Virgin doing a 2 gigabit service a while ago.
You know, I honestly can't remember. You might be right.
It rings a bell. It's not something we know. I do also remember... I mean, a lot of this stuff gets tested out in Hull, which actually might even be where City Fibre does a lot of stuff. There's someone else doing 2 gigabits in Hull. I've just Googled it, actually. And in fact, there is a story from 2021 about Virgin doing 2 gigabits. So I was right. But there are some others as well, including Connexin. Not heard of them. I have a feeling...
2 gigabits makes more sense, to be fair.
It does, doesn't
because
it?
Because... there are a lot more computers that have 2.5 gig Ethernet, which, I mean, obviously none of this really matters because most people are not using the full amount of their bandwidth anyway. They, you know, it's for houses who have lots of people using it. They could all use a decent amount of speed at the same time. So, you know, that blah, blah, blah. But yes, having 2.5 gig makes probably more sense because it's not theoretically at the limit of probably 98% of consumer devices, which can't go that quick.
I vaguely remember having a conversation with the GigaClear people who installed MyFibre here, and they said something like the line can technically support like 3 or 4 gigabits per second.
Right.
Like they only sell 1
well,
gigabit.
Well, according to this, 2.48 gigabits per second and 1.24 up, which if you think about it would make about 3.7 in total. So that makes sense, what you just said, is what I'm saying.
The other reason I thought this was important to talk about is because 1 gigabit per second internet coming in is something that people will have had the physical hardware, as in wires, not wireless routers, to utilize pretty much to the max for a couple of decades because the Cat5 Ethernet cables that have been around since like the turn of the millennium, they support up to 1 gigabit Ethernet, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, correct. the more recent ones, you know, we've got Cat 6 and 7 and 8, and they go to the multi gigabit per second. But the fact is, once we breach the gigabit per second mark, there's going to be a lot of people who will have a lot of old cables that will not be useful anymore. And they're going to have to start upgrading a lot.
Yes. Well, that's true in theory. But if you think about it logically, it's probably not going to be a huge issue. Because, again, most people are not using the full speed anyway. But they might have 10 devices in their house all downloading an update to Fortnite at one go or something. You know, and that can really saturate a 350 or even probably a gigabit connection in theory. So, I can see some sense to it as long as, you know, the routers all have the option of supporting faster cables, which at the moment they don't. So you'd have to have a new router. Because there are almost no routers supporting over a gig.
No, I suppose not. I was thinking about...
Certainly not the sort of routers that ISPs send out. I mean, you can buy a decent home router and get 2.5 on it, I'm sure. But
yeah, I get pretty decent on my... TP-Link, I think? No.
Yep.
No, could Linksys, well I think they are. It's called a Velop system.
Oh, yes, that awful thing.
It's pretty good if you have 3 of them, which I have.
Well, I hated it when I tested it. I absolutely despised it.
Oh, well, I love it. It works great. It works great for me.
Fair enough.
But
I don't know. It didn't do that thing that I want to do that I've explained countless times on this podcast why it was a problem. But.
I know. When I buy Ethernet cables, I only buy a minimum of Cat 7 now. Nothing less than Cat 7. Because they're almost as cheap as the others.
No, get a box. Make your own.
Really?
It's really hard. Yeah, of course you can make your own. I've got all the stuff. Unfortunately, you've got to buy the right gear, right? Because the stuff that I've got, just I cannot reliably crimp all six cables in together. And that means that if I'm lucky, I get a cable that supports 10 megabits per second, which is completely unacceptable. Because you only need two connected to do 10 megabit. So it's the easiest one to accidentally hit.
Andy in live chat, Andy H, says, I tried to make my own. It's not worth it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's worth it for Ian either.
Well, no, but then if you buy the right equipment, the right, you know, cable crimping tools and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of okay. But also you're getting to the point there where you'd be better off looking at a fiber solution.
Yeah. This is what I was thinking about when I was wiring up Kate's office, because I made a promise to her that she didn't care about, which is I'm going to wire your network. So, not a euphemism, so that you have zero packet loss. And I stuck to that promise, and she has zero packet loss.
But she didn't care at all.
She'd have cared if there was significant packet loss when she was live streaming.
That's true. It would have been very apparent when she was live streaming that there was packet loss.
Yes. And to this day, zero packet loss.
Well, can you confirm no packets have been lost?
Well, they all arrive present and correct, so clearly.
Can you imagine what would happen if when we die we discover that actually God is the packets and that we
on the loss.
Every packet, well, no, but every packet we lost was considered a murder and our souls were adjudged for it.
I thought
that would be quite the thing to happen, wouldn't it?
I thought you were going to jump into something like Hawking radiation from when a black hole.
No, nothing so highbrow. It's just a stupid thought on what might happen at the end of our lives. And is it the way that we treat data packets that ultimately determines what happens to our souls?
I mean, Einstein said energy is never lost. You know, it just changes forms. So in that sense, there is no packet loss. There is only...
Those packets are lost and their energy is converted to the screams of dying packets.
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear them if you listen carefully.
I mean, you don't need a lot of packet to power a country. You know, look at the amount of... Hang on, are we talking about nuclear fission now? We've veered, haven't we?
I don't know what's going on.
This is exciting, though. Gigabit per second internet. It's coming. It's coming, Britain.
I did want to give you the opportunity to talk about Ofcom and their results on the text-to-switch service.
You know I want to.
I know you do, because it's published those results, and apparently 4.1 million mobile switches were made in the first 12 months of the improved service. Now, you've experienced it recently, haven't you? And the tone of your text made it sound like it was type 3 fun.
Type 3 fun?
Yes, type 3 fun.
Is that the worst? Is that the kind of fun that you have when you eat something bad and sit on the toilet for 2 hours?
Yeah, that would be right, yes. There are three types of fun. Type 1 fun is good when it's happening.
Right.
So that's fun.
Okay.
Type 2 fun is something that's awful when it's happening, but then later is fun because, I don't know, either it makes an interesting anecdote or you realise actually, although it wasn't fun at the time, it brought you closer to somebody or, you know, that kind of thing. And type 3 fun isn't fun at all. It's not fun.
And are these all, like, Unicode-compliant classifications?
I mean, I think so. I mean, not Unicode, obviously, but I think it's generally accepted that's the sort of fun that people have.
Right. What would this podcast count as? Type 1?
Type 1 fun, mate, all the way.
All the way, isn't it? Okay, well, I'm very excited. I mean, look how close to the edge of my seat I'm sitting. I would say it was type 3 fun. I moved my mum from Vodafone to EE, and the text switching service should have been as simple as send the text, get the pack code, but it wasn't, because Vodafone wanted a PIN number for an account set up many years ago. Yes,
just a PIN, not a PIN number.
No, wanted a PIN number. Yes,
but no, not a PIN number, a PIN.
Oh, I see. Of course, yes, yeah, PIN, yeah, number. Yeah, it wanted a
personal identification number. Number.
Very good. Remember to look up facetious in that dictionary later. PIN. No, yes.
Good callback, Nate. Good callback. I like it.
Thank you. It was a PIN requested, yes. And she didn't have it. and I didn't have it, and I didn't have her phone. So I ended up calling up Vodafone, because it turns out it was in my name, and managing to manually extract the required pack code from the company, and then ordered the SIM card from EE. And then I had what I can only describe as type 5 fun, which is convincing my mother that the only thing she needed to do in order to switch networks was take the SIM card out of the packet that it comes in the post and put it in her phone. And
right.
that required, I reckon, 5 total conversations between first and it being done. And at least 2 of those were me reminding her that she needed to do it. And another 2 of those were probably her saying, I'm going to get someone to help me at school. Oh, they're off sick. I'll get someone to help me on my road. Oh, I didn't. They're away. I FaceTimed her this morning because there was 1 day remaining before the contract wouldn't be cancelled and the puck would expire. And I got her to put the SIM in the phone. And then I got a resounding, oh, is that it? And I said,
yes,
that is it. She said, well, I could have done that. And I wanted to say a swear word, but I didn't.
But you didn't.
Because I'm not my brother.
But
I instead just moved on. So we've achieved it. But thing is, generally speaking, this process is so much better than it used to be. Because in a perfect world, a person would have sent the text, known their PIN, confirmed that it was them, got the pack, put it on the form to buy a new SIM, got the SIM, put the SIM in, job done. That is all it should all it should be. And it looks like people are taking advantage of that, according to these figures, right?
Quite a lot of them. Yeah. 4.1 million mobile switches in 12 months. That's a lot.
It is a lot, isn't it? People getting a better deal before inflation, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the reason, I mean, people switch all the time, don't they? It's part of getting a good deal.
It's a hobby for some people, isn't it? Used to be for us back in the Quidco days.
It did. Well, I mean, the Quidco still exists. I still use it. I don't make as much money out of it as I used to, but I've still made £1,000 over the years.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, is it?
That's not to be sneezed at, is it?
No. But do you remember when we used to sort of, well, I say, do you remember when I used to do B broadband switching? Like, if it was pure luck, because it would be like I would move house.
Yeah.
I'd sign up for another, and you'd get like £40.
Yeah. And you taught me, and I did the same thing for about 3 years. Yeah. I had B in 3 different places. Well, 2 of them.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Including yours when we lived together. But
I wonder why B went out of business.
Begins. Yeah.
They were such a good broadband company. It's really a big shame.
Yeah. They were around the same time as Bulldog, wasn't it? Bulldog Internet was a big thing for a while.
But was it? Vaguely,
yeah, and there was another one that did low latency gaming. Blue Yonder, I think.
That was, Blue Yonder was just Telewest.
Oh, was it?
Which is now Virgin.
Oh. Well,
along with NTL.
They were pretty good. I used to, when I played Team Fortress Classic back at home, when I was about 16, any of the dedicated servers hosted by Blue Yonder were always had the lowest latency, which meant the best results for a sniper such as I was in that game. It's good times.
B was bought by Sky, you know.
Oh, B Sky B B.
Well, kind of, I guess.
Because that's where
it's
that
not called B Sky B anymore.
No, but it was, wasn't it? Because it bought a company.
Well, it was then.
B, yeah. With B's in the name.
B. Sky broadband. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess that kind of works.
Well, that's exhausted everything we had to say on that topic. If you'd like to add...
£180 million.
Huh. Yes, please.
That was what they paid for it.
Oh, Sky bought BSB, Captain Kremen says. So the Sky then turned into Sky.
Yeah. Yeah. That was part of the deal. British Sky Broadcasting. What a waste of everyone's time. Mm. And now it's just called Sky because it's owned by Comcast. Mm.
And delivered over a cable for the most part.
Often, yeah.
Well, yeah, often.
Ah, the Squareal. People won't remember this for our younger listeners, if we have any younger listeners. Do we have any younger listeners?
I think we're all past the point of no return when it comes to optimism for the future, so...
The Squareal was a square aerial, didn't have an LMB sticking out the front. It was brilliant. It was a really revolutionary system, and it was really quite good. But of course, it was also more expensive, and BSB had fewer channels, and Sky came along and snapped them all up.
My favourite game, you just reminded me of one of my favourite games when I lived in Rotherham, which was when they started rolling out cable. I used to like walking down streets and looking at whether an individual house had an old analog Sky receiver, one of the newer digital ones, or if neither, whether they had the cable box, which are always on the outside of the property.
You know, I used to...
I never had a girlfriend at that age, by the way.
No. I used to do a similar thing that was, I found great fun. It's that every time I walked past the satellite dish, I would look at where it was pointing and I'd go, that's where South Africa is over there, because that's where the satellite was.
Oh.
Again, like you.
Yeah, you were single, weren't you?
Women were not interested.
No. It's amazing.
Somehow. You know, it is, isn't it?
It's incredible, because I remember when... there were companies that were starting to roll out 0800 internet access, and there was this one company, I can't remember what they were called, but they would, every now and again, they do an evening between like 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. where you got 0800 access to their internet, so you could dial in for free internet for 2 hours, which was just the holy grail when you're a 15-year-old at home.
Yeah.
But you would never tell a girl that, what were you doing that evening? I'm going on the internet. Because that was just an absolute... That put the lid on any kind of romantic...
Holding hands.
Yeah, exactly. It was... you know, you would say that you were going home and you were going to play the drums, which, to be fair, actually, for me, was often true. But, you know,
I mean, that is cool, you see. You don't... You had something that at least you could say, oh, I'm a drummer. You know, I wasn't in a band or a drummer, and I didn't have any musical talent. All I knew was where South Africa was. Something that anyone could have known with just access to a compass.
Oh, we'd have been a real tour de force, wouldn't we? You and me together. You know, you knowing where South Africa is, me being able to play the drums, both of us knowing about digital satellite dishes.
Yeah. Oh. I wrote my dissertation on MPEG-2. So, I mean, come on, ladies. How was that not a massive... attraction point?
And what are we if not all motion picture expert groups?
Shall we move on?
We probably should. If you like to reminisce about your favorite way to not enjoy the fruits of your youth, with trying to be polite about this, but I'm basically just talking about making out when you're in secondary school, but you know what I mean, if you've got a good reason for being single like Ian and I were, then do let us know. hello@uktechshow.com. Here comes Interstitial 8. I want to say thank you.
Oh, okay, you're welcome.
Well, let's see if I get it out first. Thank you to our patrons. I wanted to thank them because they support us. People like,
yeah, they do.
Rich and Russ and Mike and everyone else who's listening live to us now, and the many, many others out there. Thank you. And thank you to people who leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, because that is the best way you can support us. That doesn't cost you a penny. And if you're one of the people who gets our extended show, which you can get at uktechshow.com, no, the other one, patreon.com/UK Tech. We're going to talk about folding phones. I'll tell you who I'm glad to hear the voice of on any day. It's my Eurovision partner in crime that isn't my wife, Tom Merritt.
Do they show it in the States? Is that because I saw that Tom was watching it?
Tom,
like, is it available on like Comcast or something?
I don't know how he watches it, but I know he watches it every year, and we obviously usually exchange tweets about our favourite acts. Last night, Finland, as John says in chat, were robbed, and I quite agree. Finland should have won.
I didn't watch it, but did something productive instead, and by that I mean laid in bed and watched TV.
Yeah, well, to be fair, pretty similar. But anyway,
I'm watching The Vault on Apple TV Plus. It's great.
Ooh. Well, hold that view. Here's Tom Merritt to tell us what's been happening in the wider world of tech this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, something awful leads the Imgur download caper to save our Imgur history. Amazon wants to sell you t-shirts while you're in VR. Anthropic offers constitutions for AI and also lets its AI read The Great Gatsby. It took it 22 seconds. Scott Johnson gives us an expert view on the new Asus ROG Ally. And Twitter's got a new CEO. We'll explain who she is, where she came from, and what she's likely to do. Maybe we'll take bets on how long she'll last. All that and more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
The Twitter CEO job is not as cursed as the Yahoo CEO job, which was for a long time the curse of the tech industry in the C-suite. Anyway, thank you, Tom. If you, that is you, the listener, would like to hear our extended show, we just had a fab debate about the pros and cons of folding phones and related technologies. So that's out at uktechshow.com/nothing. Just go there and click the Patreon button. That will take you to patreon.com/uktech. I styled that out, didn't I?
You did very well. Yeah, it was really impressive.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at styling things out.
Yeah.
Almost as good as just cruising while I find the outro music on this little soundboard. Thanks for listening, everyone. Ian, take it away.
Thanks very much. I mean, that was certainly a show, wasn't it?
Marvelous.